Welcome to Adulthood Made Easy, a podcast from Real Simple Magazine that will not only help you navigate real life, but win at real life. I'm your host, Sam Zabel, editorial assistant at realsimple.com and clueless 23-year-old slowly figuring out how the adult world works week by week. And the next 5 weeks of Adulthood Made Easy are going to be a guide to grads dedicated to the class of 2015. Congratulations, you're finally graduating college, but I know that there are a ton of things on your mind because that was me less than a year ago. So hopefully the next few weeks will answer most of your immediate questions, and then you can go back and listen to previous episodes to figure out the bigger things like taxes or salary negotiation. For today, we'll just talk about one of the more important issues on your mind right now, keeping in touch with your friends. The last few weeks of college for me were spent in and out of tears. We weren't even allowed to bring up the G word, graduation. And it became pretty anxiety-inducing to think that these people that I'd spent 4 years rooming with and spending almost every waking moment with would suddenly be spread out all across the country. My point is, I know how you feel. I've been there. I'm still dealing with it. So today I asked Dr. Andrea Bonnier, psychologist and author of The Friendship Fix, to help calm your nerves and mine and give us some foolproof strategies for keeping your best friends in your life, even on opposite ends of the country. Hi, Andrea.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Good. So I think the first thing that we should get out there is, do you still keep in touch with your friends from college?
I sure do. And I'm going to plead the fifth about how long it's been since I've graduated, quite a bit longer than for you. But I have several friends that really have become like family to me, college friends that it was just such a close relationship that even though we don't live in the same place anymore, it really is a history there that I think is just one of the most meaningful relationships that I've had. And so it remains like family.
And what do you think it is about college friends that makes them so important and meaningful? I mean, you've studied so many friendships. You wrote a whole book about it. So what is it about these college friends that makes them like family?
Yeah, you know, there are several aspects, I think. One that's really strong is that you really develop daily habits of being with this person or these people in ways that are like family. You might actually live together. You might have early morning breakfast together. You're certainly going out late at night, falling asleep together. Mm-hmm. Seeing each other through sickness, you know, it's especially if you're on a dorm or apartment situation, you're really in an emotionally intimate relationship in a way that you wouldn't be if you lived, you know, 10 minutes away from each other. So I think part of it is just the day in and day out, seeing people at their best and their worst, because you're sharing a home and you're sharing sort of a daily routine. And I think another part is that a lot goes on during the college years in terms of our emotional growth. And a lot of people really do feel like they find themselves and they discover parts of themselves. They learn who they are. They grow emotionally so much. And so I think in that sense, also, you're really growing as a person, and it makes it so much more special to have somebody by your side. You really feel like they know you in a way that people who knew you before or people who knew you later don't necessarily get that same snapshot of you.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we'll get to people who are lucky enough to be in the same place as their friends after college. Most of my friends are all in Chicago together, which makes me very jealous on a daily basis. But I'm curious about long-distance friendships, you know, assuming that you guys kind of scatter after college. What have you found are the best ways not to just keep in touch, but keep that relationship as close, even closer, as meaningful as it was when you guys lived in the same 12 by 10 foot dorm or whatever
yeah.
it is.
Yeah, I think you've really got to think about finding ways to really get to know each other's daily lives, because that happens very naturally when you live in the same dorm room and when you have a similar sort of life. You're taking classes, you're a college student, your lives look very similar in some ways. But once you graduate, I think one of the first challenges is that all of a sudden this person has a completely different daily life than you. They
Yes.
have different people in their lives, a different living situation. Maybe you're in law school and they are working full-time, or totally different people in their life. Maybe they have a pet now and you don't, and all these types of things. So one thing is that when you do have conversations, however those conversations may happen, we can certainly talk about that, but when you do have conversations, it's very important to really talk about details, you know, to talk about the nitty-gritty, to bother to give a 5-minute explanation of who this coworker is, is that now, you know, you spend a lot of time with. Because a lot of times it feels like, oh, I don't want to bother to get into that. That's boring or whatever. But that's what gradually starts the distance to happen emotionally, is that you kind of don't know what's going on in somebody's life anymore. And then you don't have as much to talk about. So you really have to take the time to fill each other in and to really explain, here's what's important to me now. Here's what my apartment looks like. Here's who I hang out with. Here's who I eat lunch with. All that type of stuff.
And what do you think the best way is to have those conversations? I mean, social media, I think, has completely changed the way people are keeping in touch after college. Like,
yes.
You're Facebook messaging them or emailing them or just keeping in touch with their Instagram feeds. But do you think that talking on the phone is still the best way to do that?
You know, it's going to make me a dinosaur, but I do think there's something with voice-to-voice communication that is pretty special. And so I do recommend for close friendships to still take time. You know, now these days everybody says, okay, let's schedule a phone call, because nobody picks up their phone except to do things with their thumbs. You know, nobody actually talks on the phone anymore. But when it's an emotionally close relationship and you want to keep it going, I do think it's very important to schedule phone calls when you can, because that back and forth, that spontaneity of a conversation that you get, and that hearing somebody's voice, hearing their laugh, is very different, and it's got a lot richer quality than having it only be social media or having it only be text message. I do think the phone, the voice, does add something to things. That being said, social media can be so crucial just to keep up on the day-to-day life. You know, you get to actually see somebody's status update and understand the nuances of what they're dealing with on a daily basis. You just got to be careful that it's not always the same old stuff of just liking a post here and there and not actually truly connecting.
How often do you think you need to have those over-the-phone conversations? Because one thing you mentioned was you want to get into the details about your roommate, about your coworker, but maybe some weeks there are some weeks where I'm like, nothing has changed. My life is the exact same as when we talked last week. So how often do you think you need to be having those voice-to-voice conversations?
Yeah, you know, it does vary by the friendship. And I think truly good, impressive friendships often have the experience of, okay, we don't talk for a while, and then we pick up just where we left off. You know, I hear that from women a lot, that it's not so much the quantity and the frequency that matters, but it's the quality. And so if they miss a couple of months even, they can still pick up where they left off. But I think that momentum is important. And so I think that, you know, sort of just establishing that routine of still talking, even if you miss a week here and there, it needs to feel like it's still sort of the default routine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go back to social media, because I agree that it can be really good for staying in touch with people and getting the visual of seeing their photos and things like that. But I also think in some ways it can kind of strain your long-distance friendships. I mean, we talk about FOMO, the fear of missing out. And I know that when I see pictures of all my friends in Chicago, sometimes it just drives me nuts, like that they're all there, they're all doing things, or they're all meeting each other's friends, and I'm kind of stuck over here in New York. So how do you recommend handling social media in a way that doesn't strain your friendship, doesn't cause jealousy? You know, when does that become a problem?
Yeah, you've really got to get to know yourself. You've got to sort of monitor yourself. How do you feel when you spend a lot of time on Facebook? How do you feel when you see a certain person's post or a certain person's photos? You know, you can sort of monitor yourself for this. Do you end up feeling bummed? Do you end up sort of killing a lot of time on Facebook when you're really not doing anything except comparing yourself to others? And so once you kind of get to know that about yourself, you can be more mindful and you can say, okay, maybe I'm going to block some of this person's newsfeed or post from my newsfeed, because, you know, they post all the time and they're always doing stuff that looks super cool and it makes me feel bad about what I'm doing. So maybe you're going to use some control there. You're not going to see all their posts anymore, but just maybe some of the most important ones or those kinds of things. And so it kind of depends. But also, too, I would really advise, just in general with how you attack social media, and by attack, of course, I mean how you go about it rather than, you know, actually going at it with a knife or whatever. But I think it's really important to think about using it in ways that are still special. So actually messaging somebody individually, actually, you know, opening up a live chat with them in that way, or actually commenting in a way that is specific and meaningful and personal rather than just the typical, like, oh, I'm laughing at this or whatever. And so thinking outside the box in terms of not the typical social media behavior that just becomes a collection of likes and likes and likes, but also actually showing your personality in it, thinking of memories that you have and making it more personalized, drumming up old photos and putting them on there unexpectedly, things like that.
Cool. My other question about these long-distance friendships is, what do you do about a friend who is kind of bad at keeping in touch, and maybe they're one of your really close friends and you really try to keep in touch with them, but they keep missing your calls, you know, they're not answering your text messages, maybe you guys are in different time zones, so that contributes to it a little bit. Even 1 hour, I find, can make a little bit of a difference. Mm-hmm. What do you do? How do you approach that kind of situation?
Yeah, I think that's a really tricky situation, because the truth is some of us are just better at keeping consistent touch than others. I mean, it's that simple. And the fact is, within a relationship, sometimes there's a discrepancy. One person really is good at keeping in touch and the other person is just not. And I have found over time, working with a lot of people about this, that it's less changeable than you think. And it just depends on whether or not you're okay being the one bearing the burden. And so within some friendships, I've found that one person is always the one reaching out, and they're fine with that because it's worth it to them. They know the other person loves them and is just bad at getting in touch. And so they have the role of being the one that's always planning and reaching out, and that's okay. But then in other friendships, that gets grating, and somebody says, you know, it's almost like our friendship would just die if it weren't for me, and I'm really exhausted always having to be the one to show effort, and I'm always the one that texts them, and I'm always the one that remembers them, and I feel totally invalidated that they don't do that for me. And so in that case, it's not working. The person does not like having the role of being the one to keep it together. So in those kind of friendships, I say, you know, sometimes it is going to take its toll. Realistically, I've seen sometimes over time that that's what makes a friendship fade a little bit. But the good news is, a lot of times it's just about finding ways to still spend time together. So, for instance, maybe this is a friendship where you don't talk much most of the year, but every summer you do go on vacation together, or you do travel to their city every few months, and you give them a heads up when that's happening, and so you see them when you're actually in person, and it's fantastic, but then you know that you're not going to have contact again for several more months. And so it's all about finding that balance.
Mm-hmm. But I think that something that I've learned, and I'm sure you've seen too, is also that one person, I mean, every friendship is going to be different. I think for some of my friends, I am calling them once a week on my walk home, and we've worked out that I call them and they pick up, and other friends, I know that I'm the one who's bad at keeping in touch. It's hard to balance 20 long distance friends. I mean, and be the one that's always calling and calling and calling. I know some people are probably going to listen to this and think, Sam, yeah, that's me who's always calling you and you're never picking up or answering me. It's really hard to balance it all when you don't see people every day on the street or in your dorm.
Yes. And I think that's an important thing to remember at this period of your life too, because it's almost like this will create a natural way of some friendships to take a little bit of a backseat. It's not saying that they end, but I think sometimes these transitions of moving and graduating, getting new jobs, et cetera, can sort of filter out some friendships that they're not going to be on the front burner anymore, that you're not going to necessarily be as close and know everything about each other's daily lives anymore. So sometimes for people during these life transitions, I really encourage them to use this time to reevaluate and say, okay, is it absolutely imperative that I'm still making such an effort to talk to this person every week? Maybe it's just not going to work out anymore, and that's okay, and you can still be friends. But if it becomes, you know, sort of a task to check off a list, that's a sign that you're taking on too much.
And that, I think that for people listening, that sounds scary to think that some people are just going to start to take kind of, you're not going to talk to them as often. But it's true. It happens kind of weirdly naturally, and it doesn't mean that you like them any less. It just means that the real world has that effect on some relationships, I think.
Exactly.
So for people who are lucky enough to stay local, how have you seen that, like we've talked about, adulthood, the real world, your new job, and things like that can have an effect on friendships even when you guys are in the same place?
Yeah, I think it can really be a rude awakening sometimes because, you know, let's take a scenario, two college best friends, they're going to the same town after graduation, they decide to live together in an apartment. And so there might be a little bit of an expectation that nothing's going to change, you know, that, well, this will just be like Dorm, the sequel. And in reality, a lot's going to change, even though you're still living together. Even I have often found that the different lives after graduation can still wreak havoc on the relationship if you expect it to be the same. The key is sort of embracing the differences. So for instance, you know, two people are living in an apartment now and they've graduated, but one of them is in graduate school and the other one is working full-time. And so all of a sudden they have different schedules. They might not even be able to eat dinner together. One of them might be coming home a lot during the day, but the other person's not there anymore, so they have nobody to talk to. Or one of them might start dating somebody new, or one of them might really be looking to branch out and network and all of a sudden has a whole group of friends from their office, and the other one really hasn't met anybody yet. So it really sort of can be a difficult situation if you expect it to be absolutely the same, because lives are different and daily lives change even if you're living in the same place. But one way to really counteract that is to make sure that you sort of embrace the growth, that you celebrate some of the changes. So I think you have to be realistic that even if you live in the same place, it's not going to be the same as college. But if you can embrace those changes, you'll be better off for it.
That makes me feel a lot better because I just assume that all of my friends are in Chicago, like living the life and having fun and seeing each other all the time. But I know that it's easier than it sounds.
Right. And they're probably posting a ton of pictures from the times they do get together, but they're not posting any pictures
from
the times.
Can you tell them
together
to stop doing that? It makes me really jealous. Well, my last question for you is, if you were graduating tomorrow, what would be the advice that you would take for how to handle all of your college friendships?
Yeah, I would say that first, trust the process, that, you know, you might be stressed and sad about how you're going to end up staying in touch with such and such person, but trust the process. The friends that will continue to be the most meaningful in your life, you will find a way. You have to put forth effort. You absolutely need to prioritize it. But it will get easier and easier as time goes on because that connection is very strong. And celebrate this period of time in your life and open up yourself to new things and let your friends be part of that as well. Share parts of your new self and let them into your new life, and the friendship will grow even stronger for it.
I completely agree with that. I think the crucial thing there is if you make the effort, it'll all work itself out.
Absolutely.
That's what I found too. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. You've made me feel a lot better, and I really appreciate your time and your advice.
Well, thank you. Thanks so much for having me. It was truly fun. This is my favorite topic.
Great. Have a good rest of your day.
Thanks. You as well.
Thank you so much for joining me today for Adulthood Made Easy and our first week of Guide to Grads. Do you have questions or topics you'd like me to cover next time? Tweet them to me at Sam Zabel, and I'll add them to my list. I'd like to thank our producer, Tim Einenkel. If you enjoyed the episode, please review and subscribe on iTunes, where you'll also find three more podcasts from the Real Simple team. And don't forget to get a copy of the book that has all the answers, The Real Simple Guide to Real Life, which you can get wherever books are sold. I'm Sam Zabel, and I'll have more answers next time. Thank you.